The sermon title today is Imitators of God. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and how many times have we turned to Hebrews chapter 11? But we go back to it today, and we're going to go to Hebrews 11 to start off today. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Verse 1 tells us, I do not have to see it to believe it. I do not have to see it to believe it. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. Our belief is founded in the Word of God. Biblical hope is not luck or chance. It is founded in the surety of the Scripture today. The evidence of proof is the Word of God. Matthew 24, verse 35 says this. We won't turn there, but this is what it says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. He said it, I believe it, and the question is, do you believe it today? Amen. Now, verse 2, it says again, for it, by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Our testimony at Crossroads Gospel Church, he said it, we believe it. How many times have we said at Crossroads Gospel Church, we believe the Word, we stand on the Word, and we stand for the Word, we promote the Word, we share the Word with other people. In verse 2, our faith in God's Word gives us a good testimony. So the biblical definition of faith is what? I act on or act upon what I believe to be true. So verse 6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God or she who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Is that your testimony today? I not only believe in God, but I also believe in His Word. And by faith, I'm acting upon it. Or is it just part of it that I'm acting upon? Is it just part of the Word, not all of the Word? You see how important this is? It's important that we act upon all of the Word of God, that we receive it, that we believe it, that we stand upon it, and we share it with other people, and not just a part Amen. Of the Word of God, but the whole of Word of God. Verse 3 says this again. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The evidence of God created this world is founded on the proof of God's Word. I'll say that again. The evidence that God created this world is founded on the proof of God's Word. It's not found on a rock that is found by a geologist, but it's found on the one true rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone of our faith today. Amen. One study showed that of the 12 largest denominations in the United States, that about 77% of the people supported evolution education. In verse 6, there is no middle ground on belief. You take God at His word or you do not. Doubt is not partial belief. Doubt is unbelief. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. In verse 1 it says, in Genesis 3 it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit, ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he also ate. When Adam and Eve doubted God, and that's what it's about, isn't it? We talked about this before. This is where doubt entered the world. When they doubted God, they did not step into partial belief. Adam and Eve stepped into unbelief. They didn't just partially believe God. You cannot put yourself there. You cannot put yourself that I stand on this portion of the Word of God, but this over here I don't. Or I stand on this portion of the Word of God, but over here I'm just going to ignore that. So I'm a partial Bible believer. I'm a partial time Christian in my life. You're either walking in faith or you're walking in unbelief. It's one or the other. It's not down the middle. There are many Christians today walking in unbelief today. There are many Christians today that are walking in unbelief today, and more than there is that those that are walking in belief. How can I say such a thing? Because they're walking in doubt. In Genesis 1:1, let's turn there. We're just very briefly going to go over these verses. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning of God created the heavens and the earth." Do you believe it or do you doubt it? In verse 26, it says this of Genesis chapter 1. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 26 at the beginning says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Do you believe it or do you doubt it? Verse 27 says this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him." Do you believe it or do you doubt it? Chapter 2, verse 24. In chapter 2 and verse 24, it says this, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." The ordination of the marriage covenant. Do you believe it or do you doubt it? Do you believe it or do you doubt it? None of these faith statements have anything to do with what you think or how you feel. It is based solely on what God's Word says. So let me give you an example. A young man and a young woman grow up thinking, "I'm a man, but I am in a woman's body," or I am a woman in a man's body. What is that based on? What is that based on? There is no scientific proof that can prove otherwise than what God's Word says. If you want to go back to the very foundation of this earth, we need to go to the foundation of the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I feel. It matters what the Word of God says. You can never base your decisions on what you feel or what you think. It's based on doubt. It's God's Word, which is unbelief if we're doubting God's Word. Adam and Eve based their choice on what they thought and how they felt. They were doubting God. And Eve told the adversary what? He says, "We may eat of every tree of this garden, but we can't eat in the middle of the garden because we will die. And Satan said back to her, "Oh, you surely won't die." Well, was she thinking physical death? Was he talking to her physically that she was going to die? What God meant that you were going to die is that they were going to be eternally separated from God by sin. Working in unbelief causes separation from God. Young people, trust God. Be who you are, not who you think, and not who you feel that you are. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. We go to Ephesians 5. It's amazing we keep coming back to Ephesians, and this is what we're studying in CE on Sunday morning. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all the uncleanness of covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither let filthiness nor foolish talking and coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons and the daughters of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Amen. Verse 14 again, it is time to wake up to the truth of God's word. Start believing all of it and not just part of it. In verse 8, it says, we once walked in darkness, but we don't walk in the darkness anymore. We walk in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're walking in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then stay in the light. In verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God. That we are to be the imitators of God. Our lives are to be a mirrored reflection of Jesus Christ. Our church and now our school will reflect the truth outlined today in the Scripture in regards to creation, in regards that we are created male and female, and that any other relationship outside of the marriage covenant is wrong. If we get outside of that, you're going to become like every other Christian school that became liberal because they wanted more kids in the seat. We don't want more kids in the seat. We want kids that are growing up in Jesus Christ and living their family in the light and not in the darkness. Saints, it's critical in your role to teach and mentor these truths to our young people because they're all watching us. To our young people, so they will lead strong lives with God. As a pastor, I ask you, how can I help? I want people to be positioned to be blessed by God. And today I'm going to end with a story. And years ago, I told this story before, and maybe you've heard it, I don't know, but I will share it with you again. When our son graduated from high school, he was bound and determined that he was going to make it into the music industry. And he thought by getting as close a proximity as I possibly can to the music industry, that will help me. Good goal. He moved to Nashville, Tennessee. He was a Christian artist at the time. He moved to Nashville, Tennessee, and he was going to go to college in Nashville, Tennessee. At the time, I don't even remember what year the truck was, but I had a little white Ford half-ton pickup, and I had a two-horse trailer that was completely enclosed. So when it took time for us to move our son to Nashville, we loaded everything that we could in the back of the pickup and also in the back of that two-horse trailer, and we took off for Nashville, Tennessee. Well, when we were going down there, Carol, my wife, my lovely wife, my beautiful wife, told me, she says, we better take a vacuum cleaner. Well, thank you very much. You did a beautiful job on that. Awesome. She said, we better take a vacuum cleaner because you don't know what kind of an apartment we're going to get. And when we get to that apartment, then we'll be able to vacuum it up. Thank you very much. She's so sweet. So we took a vacuum cleaner down there with us. Well, it was Electrolux vacuum cleaner. You know, you just don't want to give them away. So what did you do? We went down there, we vacuumed, we got him all moved in, and we put the vacuum cleaner back in the back of the two-horse trailer. So when I'm coming back from Nashville, Carol and I, the only thing I have is an empty pickup with an enclosed two-horse trailer, and in the back of that two-horse trailer, the only thing in there is a vacuum cleaner. Well, Pastor Leo, you know how I always dress. We stopped in to get gas somewhere. I don't know if we were outside of Nashville or where we are, but you know how I dress. I had a Levi jacket on, had my Western boots on, had my big belt buckle on, and had my cowboy hat on. Well, a little bit to me, but there was a rodeo that was going on in the community or in that area that weekend. And a lady came up to me and said, excuse me, she says, can you tell me what time the rodeo starts? Now, I could have really John Wayne'd it up and said, well, ma'am, me and my old horse Buck that's in the back of that trailer, we're going to come down here and show these Nashville boys how to win roping contests. I did not say that. But I didn't tell her all I had in the back of that trailer was a vacuum cleaner either. I just said, no, ma'am, I don't know when the rodeo starts here in the community. I was a red-blooded American guy. I mean, I wasn't going to tell her I had a vacuum cleaner. I was dressed like a cowboy. You see, in reality, my title was not Rodeo Cowboy. It would have been closer to the truth to say that I was a vacuum cleaner salesman. So let me ask you today, are you a Christian or are you a vacuum cleaner salesman? We must not only talk the talk, but we need to walk the walk. And Carol always says this, your walk talks louder than your talk talks. We are to be an imitator of God, not an imitation Christian. It's a challenge for all of us, isn't it? Everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, our actions, I want to be the real thing. I want Jason and Taylor to look at me and say, he's the real deal. I want Staten to look at me and say, he's the real deal. I want my grandsons, Leo and Andrew, to be say he's somebody you can look up to. And I want that for everyone in this church, because other people are going to be coming to this church, people are going to be coming to this school, and they're going to say, that church believes in the Word of God, they stand on the Word of God, and they promote the Word of God. They are the real deal. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you and we rejoice in your goodness and your mercy and your grace, Father. We pray that as we leave this place, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. And Father, you would lead, you would guide, and you would direct. There's many things that we have to accomplish, Father, with the school, with the building, with the addition, with the monies, everything and everything and everything. But Father, we know that it all sits in the palm of your hand. We walk in trust, we walk in belief, and we know that, Father, you will bring it to pass. We're going to relax and enjoy the ride that you're taking us with. Father, be with my brothers and sisters this day and the days of this next week. Lord, I pray that you would lead, guide, and direct. We ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen.